I remember one of my our family friends, that the son got married to a Swedish girl. And then during Christmas, I just happened to get to the house, and she brought me a red candle. She said, "See this woman, what this woman sent me. Does she think I'm a prophet? It's a red candle. You know this big red candle? That's what the Swedish girl sent her." But she was angry. Because she said, "Does she think I'm a prophet? Am I, do I have prayer house? I sending me red candle." But to the Swedish girl, that's a very valuable Christmas gift. But to the African mother, it's a waste of time. He said, "So they couldn't even send me money to buy a chaff and something. Is this candle?" So I said, "Well, you can start prayer house with it." So you see, a very costly gift, very important gift, but to the giver, it didn't mean much. It didn't mean much. The value was lost. We can't have that experience with Jesus. We just can't. We just can't. So we need to understand and begin to appreciate this gift, not just because it's Christmas and well, we should do it on Christmas Day, but it should be something we do every day of our life. We should appreciate this gift that Paul called indescribable gift every day of our lives, as we see the value and the relevance in our lives. Can I hear amen? So the scripture says in Luke chapter 2 verse 10, "And the angel said unto them," Luke chapter 2 from verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, fear not." Do what? I didn't hear you. Can I hear you one more time? Tell your neighbor that. Come on. One more time. Come on. So fear is abolished. That's why you should know what entering his rest means. It means a state of no fear. So he says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." It's not just joy, but great joy, "which shall be to some people," all people. What is this good tidings of great joy? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a" what? "A Savior, which is" who? "Christ the Lord. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." God didn't give us a religion, church. He didn't give us a ritual. You miss this, you miss the point. He gave us a Savior. He gave us Christ the Lord. And verse 12. "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." Peace has come. On earth peace. Then goodwill towards men. So even the angels were so excited about this, that they were praising God, they were rejoicing, they were singing. Something had come to earth. Something that wasn't there had come to earth. Why is this good news? Why is it a news of great joy? Why? Because it says, "Unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord." A Savior, Christ the Lord. A what? I want to hear you. Again, if you meet this point, you miss it all. The only reason for this joy is not because of religion. Please, it's not because of you. It's not because of me. It's not because of anything else. It's not because of anything else. It's not because you are so good, you become so wonderful, angels are singing. No. It's only one reason, only one reason. My brothers and sisters, only one reason. Not two. Has nothing to do with you. Has nothing to do with me. Has to do with what God gave. Born this day, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's the only reason. Can I hear amen? So if we need to really appreciate Christmas, we must appreciate that gift. We must appreciate that gift. That gift must be relevant to us. There's a reason that gift is a gift of great joy. Zechariah says something about this gift. Zechariah, remember Zechariah? Is the father of who? The father of who? John the Baptist. After he began to talk, he wasn't able to talk because he was saying things contrary to the will of God, and God shut his mouth up because he could scuttle God's plan. And so after he began to talk, after he named John the Baptist, the anointing of God came on him. He began to talk about this gift. And my brothers and sisters, the church needs to talk about this gift. The church must focus on this gift. God didn't give us religion. He didn't give us rituals. He gave us one gift. The church must talk about it. That's why the Holy Spirit is talking about. That's why heaven is rejoicing. This one singular gift. And so Zechariah began to talk about him in Luke chapter 1, verse 67. In Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. I'm reading New Living Translation. New Living Translation. And gave this prophecy. What's the prophecy? Praise the Lord. You see, he began with praising God too. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited, and what? He said, this gift is God that came. See why this gift is something else. That's why you can't talk about any other thing except that gift, because that's God himself that came. That's God. He called him God. He said, God, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people, he has sent us a mighty Savior. He sent us a Savior. And this God that came, Emmanuel, God himself, is here. So he sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from how many? Our enemies, and from what? All who hate us. Good news. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred what? Covenant. Now, when the Bible uses the word remembering for God, it doesn't mean God forgot it. Doesn't mean he forgot it. Because some of you think, say, God, remember me. God will never forget you. The word remembering is a timing. Because God told Israel that you go into this bondage for 400 what? So God had a timing for it already. And when the timing came, God came to do what he promised them. It's not that God forgot it. When you say God remembered, it's not that God remember me. No. Because God already told them, this is the length of time you are going to stay there. And once that time reaches, you are out. Praise the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's not as if to say that, oh, God said, oh, hey, these people are here. Let me remember them today. No, it's been planned. It's been in his plan. He told them many years before they even went there that this will happen. You are going to be in bondage. You are going to do this. That after 400 days, I'm going to come and set you free. So the time came. The word remembering is to say the time came. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. The time what? Came. So when the Bible said that God remembered his holy covenant, it's not that he forgot it. Because he said, I will not alter what has gone out of what? My mouth. God doesn't forget his promises. Because the Holy Spirit said that forgetful hearers deceive themselves. God is not a forgetful hearer. He remembers it all. It's all right there. So the Bible says he has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies, so we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness as long as we live. You see, mankind was broken. Humanity was completely broken. And they're still broken. Praise the Lord. Humanity was spiritually broken. mentally broken, physically broken, and spiritually broken. A man is still broken. The nature of man changed. He wasn't what God made him to be. He became evil personified because he took on the nature of evil, took on the nature of Satan, took on the nature of sin, became as wicked as the devil, and was doing something beyond man. The level of evil was what human beings were not capable of doing. It was something beyond man. It was a nature beyond them because they were under the control of a spirit called the devil, who is evil personified. He's the embodiment of evil. And so you could see it in the history of mankind. Cain, because the brother gave an offering that was accepted, he rose up and what? Killed him right away. You could see that. It's not normal. It's not normal. Can you think of slavery? Man says humanity to man to the level that you can't even begin to think about it. What a human being did with another human. They will throw them out the ship in the middle of the ocean. Just throw them out like they're not human beings. This is a fellow human being. People will sell people, put them out, and sell them, collect money. It wasn't only in America, but also in Africa. People were selling people in Africa. If you didn't have money to pay for land, they took your child as a slave. Man sees humanity. Man was totally broken, totally evil. Look at, do you know how many millions of people have been killed in wars where the people fighting and killing themselves have no idea why this war is going on? But they come and that evil in them is tired, that they take bayonet and pierce somebody else. They don't know his name. They don't know where he's coming from. They just pierce and kill him and kill some more. And all his effort is to kill as many as possible. Somebody comes in a congregation with a bomb and kills himself and wipes out a lot of people. That's evil personified. Completely evil. And man is still evil. Think of lies. The Bible described man, he said, the poison of apps is under his lips. That when he talks, he releases poison. Brethren, check it out yourself. How many times people open their mouth out of anger and say things that will hurt another human being so much to break his heart and cause him something serious. And he doesn't even care. He's so happy, I hurt him. He goes home fulfilled. That is demonic. Am I talking of ability to keep covenant? It's not truthfulness. Praise the Lord. Completely broken. Totally opposite of the nature of God. And when Jesus came, he was telling the Jews that man was messed up, that man was broken, and that man was dead. And the Jews said, you don't know what you're talking about. We are the sons of Abraham. We are not sinners. Sin is not in our nature. We are good. And Jesus said, no, you're of your father what? The devil, and his will, you will do. What you are doing is not, you are not doing it of yourself. Something has taken hold of you. A man became a slave to his new nature. I mean, this slavery is something, I want you to capture it. Capture this. Look, if I take Broca for slavery, if I take him slavery now, it's a different type of slavery. But if my nature takes me slavery, so the slavery man was in is both captured and his nature. Have you seen somebody who can walk up, who can get up, can walk? He's kind of held in his body. He's incapacitated by illness. He wants to talk. He can't talk. He wants to walk, he can't walk. That's why, that's how humanity is. All these top guys you people see in suits, in television, in government, in this is, except you come to Christ, you are bound by a nature that is evil. Why do you think people commit abortion and they're happy about it? Kill somebody in the womb, they're happy. And the politicians are sitting up arguing, when does life start? That's deceit. That's demonic. Even after science has told us that those fetuses have heartbeat. I don't want to describe dilatation and curettage for you. It's a wicked thing. Go home to your village. Give somebody money to do something for you and see how much accountability you get. Go to the biggest churches and find pastors. Give them money. And say, Pastor, praise the Lord, you're anointed. Say, I'm anointed. Okay, I want to give you 5 million naira. I want to do something in Nigeria. Please, can you help me? Bring it. After 6 months, go and check the account. What I'm telling you is serious. Very, very serious. You see, if we don't understand this, we don't understand the good news. You think it's church we're doing? Think it's religion we're doing? Think we're doing Christmas? Chop, chop, cry. This brokenness is still working in many people who sit in churches. Why is it we can't keep marriages? The heart is wicked. There's no forgiveness. There's no mercy. It takes mercy to keep covenant. You don't keep covenant because you're perfect. You keep covenant because of mercy, because of humility. God is not keeping covenant with me and you because we are good. It's because he loves us. Can I hear amen here? Look at Romans 1:29. Romans 1:29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, argument. Today is political argument. Brother and brother don't talk anymore. Fighting over people they don't know. They will never meet them in life. Debate, deceit, what is malignity? Malignity is something that causes destruction from malignant. You say we have malignant tumor, benign tumor. Malignity is people destroy people. People destroy people. Malignity, whisperers, gossip, talking evil of people. This is the broken man, man. Look at Ephesians 2 verse 1. We need to get this right. Ephesians 2 verse 1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, I'm reading New Living Translation. Ephesians 2 verse 1. Once you are dead because of your disobedience and many sins, continue to verse 3 for me, please. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. Just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. That's why people do incredible evil. All of us used to live that way. Following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature that had us bound. Nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's what? Anger, just like everyone else. Now, I want you to capture this fact. If I'm drunk, and I'm doing like this. And then he sees me. Come. Capture this. You must understand the reason for this good news. Then he sees me as I'm doing this. And he's giving me laws to obey. He said, bro, thou shalt not drink. I said, yeah, thou shalt not drink. You shall not drink. I said, come. Thou shalt not tell lies. Lie. How foolish is it? Does it work? Come on, church. The law cannot fix man. Because he's drunk. Something is holding him. He's drunk in sin. He's a slave. His nature grieves him. You are telling him, that's why God gave the law, to show man that he's drunk with sin. God knew that this law will not set him free. Something beyond him is holding him. So, Ten Commandments was given to us just to reveal to us that we are slaves to what? Sin. So now, if I'm drunk, and he's telling me, well, Christians don't lie. You lie. You lie. Lie, lie, lie. You lie. Why? There is something in me controlling me. The solution will not be this. Thank you. The solution will be detoxification. The solution will be to take that thing that is in me and what? Out. That's what Christ came to do. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's why we are rejoicing today. The only process of detoxification was Christ himself. Only him could get into you and take that thing out of you and detoxify you of spiritual malignity, physical malignity, and emotional malignity, and all manner of malignity that you acquired that held you bound. You couldn't do that. When he came, listen, my brother, come. I'm doing this. And my brother is there. And when he came, let me say he's my father now. And I'm doing this. And somebody came and began to detoxicate me. How happy would he be? Eh? Our Father in heaven was so excited when Jesus came. He said, my children are coming back. Detoxification is taking place. That's why you are saved by grace, not by you. Because you are doing slave. Captured by that nature. Captured by that nature. Captured. It's still happening. See, I'm not kidding. The world is still like that. You are talking to somebody. Look, my brother, my sister, you shouldn't be doing this. He's doing it. Doing it. Look at Galatians 3, verse 21, New Living Translation. This is a different Christmas. Can I hear amen? Galatians 3, 21. Am I communicating to you? Is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give us new life, if the law could detoxicate us and put new life in it now, if it could do that, if the law could give us what? New life. We could then be made right with God by just obeying it. But it's not possible because the guy who wants to do this needs to be detoxificated. He's not do this and do that, we do that. You take a drunk to a center where the thing is taken out of you. So the law could not change, give us the new life, change us from within. It was not possible. Romans 8, 3. Sorry. Galatians 3, 22. We need to finish it. Verse 22. Quickly, 22. But the scripture declared that we are all what? Prisoners. See what I'm telling you? Imprisoned by an evil nature and by an evil spirit who is an embodiment of evil. Embodiment of lying, embodiment of deceit, embodiment of malignant spirit. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing. You see why the gospel is good news. That's what we tell people. So let's read Message, Romans 8, 3. I'll soon finish. Message, Romans 8, 3. So you see, the main issue, the real issue with man was that his imprisonment. To encapsulate, caste is holding somebody, holding his whole body is encapsulated by sin and the devil encapsulated them. Tell them like, until Christ came and took that cast. Somebody shout hallelujah. So the core thing is that encapsulation. The core thing is that nature that the Old Testament put it beautifully. He said, can a leper change his what? Skin. He said, you can't. You that are accustomed to see. You can't change that nature. That nature is like I'm a man. You can't change me. I'm bound with this nature of being a man. You can't change me. No matter what you do. Remember? So the core problem with man was his what? His nature. That held him captive. That nature was what held him. And so that's what message is saying. You need to understand it so you understand message. Message said now, in Romans 8:3, God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with this problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son Jesus, he personally, that's why Zechariah said, God has come. God what? Has come. He personally took on human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling what? Humanity. In order to do what? Set it right. Once the law code weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a what? Band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. Are you following me? So you say, okay, you know what? I'm going to summarize this. Maybe on Sunday I'll continue. Praise the Lord. So when Jesus came, after setting us free by giving us new nature, Ephesians 2:10, I'm reading New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece. He has done what? Created us what? Anew in Christ Jesus. So we can now do good things he planned. See what happened now? In Christ Jesus, we were detoxificated. Old things have. He took out that toxin and created us new. Masterpiece. I've come that you have life. He gave us his own life and took away the old life. Only him could do that. And when he did that, the man that was doing like this came to his senses. Like the prodigal son came to his what? Senses. He came to his senses. And the Spirit of God came into him and began to show him the things that God has freely given him and brought back to him a life of love, sound mind, and what? Power. So instead of, he now has sound, he can now understand the mind of God. So he can look at lying and say, that's not good for me. I've got my senses back. I have the mind of Christ now. Can somebody shout hallelujah? I'm no more a slave. No. Alcohol has been taken out of me. That drug called Satan is taken out of me. I can think for myself. I can see it clearly. I can now know the mind of God on every issue. So he can come back to the very wife he used to abuse and say, honey, I'm so sorry for everything I did. I didn't do it with my mind. My senses have come back. Spirit of love, spirit of power, and sound. Sound man. He's not led by a different spirit. First one that was leading him was the devil himself. The one leading him now is the Holy Spirit himself. The word of God given to him to be a lamp to show him where he is and the light to show him the path to what? Follow. When he talks like somebody with sound mind. Love begins to control him. Paul said, we are controlled now by the love of God. So they can keep covenant now. They can keep covenant now. And he said, Pastor, but that's not my experience. Yeah. Let me tell you why it is not your experience. It's because you don't know the truth. You don't know this person that God sent to you. For unto us, a what? You've been focusing on religion. Because you think, because you go to church, because you go to fellowship, because you pray 20 hours, because you do this, your mind is focused on all of that, except one place. The only person God gave you is Christ. And those that trust in him will not be put to shame. You don't know that Christ. You think it's not important to know. You think because you pray 20 hours, Parakata, God said no. I sent you somebody. Paul said, I don't frustrate the grace of God. You can't set Christ aside. And Jesus told us how to walk in freedom. You shall, he said, if you follow, if you continue in what? In my word. I'm the word. He reveals me to you. He said, the scriptures about him. If you focus on this gift, if you focus on this gift, he is the grace of God. If you focus on this gift, if you continue my words, then you shall know you are not talking to me, I'm done. If you continue what? Then what will happen? Then what will happen? Then all these things I came to do will begin to work in your life. My question is, how many Christians really continue his word? Don't you see where the devil comes to wait for you? He will keep you so busy. He will keep you so busy that the gift given to you, you won't know the value, you won't know what. You talk from your mental knowledge, not from revelation. And then you go back to living that same life. The Bible says you have gone back to what you vomited.